This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
You know when you say فَدَخَلَ النَّارِ, you know when someone in the Arabic language, when you make dua, you use the past tense. You say غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. Right, غَفَرَ اللَّهُ was what? It's past tense. Allah has forgiven you already. غَفَرَ اللَّهُ لَكَ. So here when he says, فَدَخَلَ النَّارِ فَأَبْعَدَهُ اللَّهُ, this may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enter him the hellfire and distance him. Meaning, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may distance from the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, Ameen. And of course, Jibreel is saying to him, say Ameen. And he says, Ameen. And the hadith is in Musnad Imam Ahmad. And the hadith is considered an authentic hadith. So that's why it's even more important. So why? Because when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives people opportunities, and then they don't believe, and then they don't take advantage of it, that's when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that's when the wrath of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends prophets and messengers to the towns and they refuse to believe. And then when they ask for a sign and Allah gives them a sign and they still don't believe, what happens to those towns? Allah destroys them. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Prophet Saleh to the people of Thamud, they ask as a mockery, that they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to do what? To send what? To send a camel. Give us a camel, like from the mountain. But then Prophet Saleh warns them, if Allah does send it to you, then you better believe, because if you don't, then you're going to be destroyed, because that you're given the opportunity you're asking for. And now you still don't believe. And so when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent them the camel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered them to, you know, take turns in the water well, the watering water hole for the camel and for them one day. And then when they slaughtered the camel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala destroyed them. So anytime you ask for a sign and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you, you still don't believe, then the punishment of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala befalls upon those people. So we ask, Allahumma balighna Ramadan. Everybody says, oh ya Allah, allow me to live through the month of Ramadan. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives it to you. And you're not and then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives you opportunities to be forgiven. You make dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. You pray to Allah. You fast. You can be forgiven for. Man sama Ramadan imanan wa ihtisaban ghufira lahu ma taqaddama min dhanbi. Whoever fasts the month of Ramadan with true faith in Allah, seeking the reward from Him alone, will have all his previous sins be forgiven for. Whoever stands up at night time, similarly, for the sake of Allah, seeking the reward from Him alone and doing it because of his faith, will have all his previous sins be forgiven for. Whoever stands up Laylatul Qadr will have all his previous sins be forgiven for. And every single night, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala frees people and forgives people. Every single day, you have an opportunity. So if you don't take advantage of those opportunities, what happens when you don't take advantage of those opportunities? Then the dua of Prophet of the angels, the angel Jibreel, the Ameen of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, befalls upon those people. Why? Because you're given the opportunity now. And that's why it's very, very important for us to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. No matter what your situation and how you were before, what kind of sins you committed, how bad you were before, how neglectful you were, when Ramadan comes, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala closes the doors of the hellfire, opens the doors of paradise, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has a caller who calls upon. This is the first night of Ramadan. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sends a person to in the heavens to call, someone in the heavens to call, and he says, Ya Bari al Khair, Aqbil. Oh, So an announcement is made. An announcement, that's the beginning of Ramadan. All those who are seeking to do good, come forward. وَيَبَغِيَ الشَّرْ أَخْسِرْ. Those who are looking to do bad, stay back. And that's why it's hard, it's incumbent upon us to, no matter what we did before, to repent and to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so the opportunity is there now. And then I'll share with you a hadith. We'll try to benefit from the hadith. In the topic of repentance and returning to Allah, the hadith is from Abi Sa'id al-Khudri radiyallahu anhu, anna Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam qal, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, kana mimman kana qablakum rajulun qatala tis'atan wa tis'ina nafsa. There was a man from amongst those before you who killed 99 souls. He killed 99 people. فَسَأَلَ أَنْ أَعْلَمِ فَسَأَلَ أَنْ أَعْلَمِ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ فَدُلَّ عَلَى رَاهِبٍ. So, and he asked for the most knowledgeable person on the face of this earth, and he was shown, he was guided to a monk, and فَأَتَاهُ, and so he went to him. So this monk, or this, you know, al-rahib, is someone who has left the dunya, has abandoned it, and is focused solely on the akhirah, you know, as someone who devotes himself to the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But sometimes there are people who devote themselves to the worship of Allah, but they're not very knowledgeable. You know, they're not very knowledgeable, but they are, and so people think that they are very good, and they are very good, but you have to have knowledge also. So he goes to this person, and he says, فَقَالَ إِنْهُ قَتَلَ تِسْعَةً وَتِسْعِينَ نَفْسًا. And he tells him that he has killed 99 people. فَهَلْ لَهُ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. Does he have any? Is he able to repent after killing 99? Like, 99 is a huge number, right? 99. This is someone who's not like, you know, like it's not accidental killing here. You know, this guy, this person is a serial murderer. This is like really bad person, right? But he has this desire to return to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, this burning desire to change. And so he comes, he says, is there an opportunity? Can I make a repent? Can I make tawbah? Can I change? Can I return to Allah? Will Allah accept my repentance? And so that man says, no. No. 99? Like, no. And so that man, of course, you don't want to, someone who's killed 99 people, you don't want to mess with him, right? He's usually there killing for him is nothing, right? So, you know, he kills him too. He said, what's the difference? If I can't repent, you know, let me make it another person. So he kills that man also. And the scholars have used this as an example of the consequences of ignorance. This is what happens when you're ignorant. You put yourself in trouble. You know, and then you're ignorant. You don't know, say you don't know. You know, but when you say things that are sometimes incorrect, sometimes you face consequences, you face the worst consequence possible for this, for his ignorance. فَقَتَلَ, he says, and he killed him. فَكَمَّلَ بِهِ مِئَةً, and now he has killed 100. And now, but this man, he still has hope. He's still hoping. He hasn't given up hope. I mean, there must be a chance. There must be an opportunity. ثُمَّ سَأَلَ أَنْ أَعْلِمَ أَهْلِ الْأَرْضِ. And then again he asks, who is the most knowledgeable person on the face of this earth? فَدُلَّ عَلَى رَجُلٍ عَالِمٍ. And so, but he was shown a man. But this time, this man is a scholar. This man who has knowledge. He isn't just the person who devotes himself to the worship of Allah and doesn't have any knowledge? No. فَدُلَّ عَلَى رَجُلٍ عَالِمٍ. This is a person who has knowledge. And so he came to him. So that man goes to him. فَقَالَ, and he says to him, he says to that man, قَتَلَ مِئَةَ نَفْسٍ فَهَلْ لَهُ مِنْ تَوْبَةٍ. He says to him, he killed 99, and so is there any opportunity for him to repent? فَقَالَ نَعَمْ, he says, yes, of course. وَمَنْ يَحُولُ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَ تَوْبَةٍ. Is there anything that can come between you and tawbah? Like there's nothing that can come here. If you really want to repent, then there's the opportunity is always there, even if you killed 100 people. And so, but he says, but, you know, this man, right, you can't just say it. So he's telling him what tawbah is, what true repentance is. If you want even 100 people, but if you're sincere, it isn't just, I ask Allah for forgiveness only. It has to be al-qawl and amal, to do good deeds and to believe and do good deeds. I mean, to also have that conviction and say it with your mouth, your tongue, and repent to Allah, but also show it in action also. Because if you are truthful, then you would also show it in action. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, every time He says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ, those who do believe and do righteous deeds, belief and righteous deeds always come together. You look in the Qur'an, Allah doesn't just say believe. Over 70 places in the Qur'an, Allah says believe, uses faith, and then righteous deeds. Why? Because if someone really believes, then they act upon it. It doesn't make sense. Someone who says, you know, I believe that that prayer is mandatory, it's obligatory. I believe it's obligatory. And so if that person really believes that it's obligatory, he's gonna pray. Right? Someone who says, you know, I know it's obligatory. I believe it's obligatory, but he doesn't pray for 20 or 30 years. He doesn't really believe. There's doubt. It's not true belief. Doubt in the fact that it's obligatory itself. And anyone who believes that it's not obligatory, or it doubts the obligation of such things, you know, you can be lazy, as I mentioned before. You can be lazy. Or maybe somebody might be lazy and not pray because they're lazy. But for 20 years straight, you're lazy? You know, you're lazy. Laziness is once in a while. Not for 20 years straight. You're not lazy for 20 years straight? No. It's because you don't really believe. You don't really believe. If you really believe, you would put it into action also. And so, this man, he says to him, this alim, this scholar says, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا. He says, you have to go to this place, this land, such and such a land. فَإِنَّ بِهَا نَاسٍ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهِ. Because there are people who worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فَاعْبُدْ مَعَهُمْ فَاعْبُدْ مَعَهُمْ. Because there are people who worship Allah. So you know, some towns, there are good people, and some areas, people are not good. So he, of course, is in an area that it's very bad. And that's why even in Surah Al-Kahf, Prophet Musa alayhi salam, when he went with Al-Khadir, he went to a town that were very miser, terrible people. Al-Khadir and Musa, they needed food to eat. Nobody would give them anything. No one would host them. No one would. And in those days, you know, when you have strangers and they need something, at least you give them food. You know, you provide for them. At least give them something. But they were terrible, right? This is a terrible town. The people there are terrible. And that's why, you know, in the story of course, Musa fixes the wall. Why? Because if these people were to discover, if they were to fix the wall and they would dig it up and fix it for them, they would find the treasure and they would take it from the orphans. Because these are terrible people. So some towns, the people are terrible. Some areas, even in the United States, right? You have certain cities that are much more dangerous than other cities. And so if you're staying in a neighborhood and town, if you're growing in certain neighborhoods, you know that that cycle continues, right? For the children, and that's why the people who grow up in the ghetto, they don't have the same opportunities as other people because of the environment around them. And so he says, انطلق إلى أرض كذا وكذا. Go to this particular land. فَإِنَّ بِهَا نَاسٍ يَعْبُدُونَ اللَّهِ فَاعْبُدْ مَعْهُمْ. Go and join them in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَى أَرْضِكَ. Don't go back to your land. Don't go back to your hometown. That town. So this is, it's not easy, right? Is it easy to leave a place that you grew up with, that you've grown up in, that you have people that you are comfortable with, people that you know, and go to a foreign place of people that you don't even know? That's not easy. But this man, to show his seriousness, like, you know, you have, sometimes when you repent, you have to repent, you have to show it in action. وَلَمْ يُصِرُّوا عَلَىٰ مَا فَعَلُوا وَهُمْ يَعْلَمُونَ. And they're not persistent in what they did, and they know. And so if you're repenting to Allah from a sin, then don't put yourself in that situation where you might commit that sin again. So if you're doing things that are haram, for example, and this thing is, like, you know, causing problems for you too, you know, maybe making you look at haram or do things of haram, maybe erase that account or destroy it. Because some people, you know, there's some people in the old days, nowadays you don't have collections of cassette tapes and CDs and so forth. You know, there's some people who watch music, right? And some people listen to some people listen to music, and some people watch, like, movies, and they have all of these collections and so forth. And then some people will repent, but then when they repent, they put all of the collection in the basement or in the attic, right? Like, you know, it's haram. Why are you putting it in the attic? Because it's expensive. They bought it for a lot. Maybe each one of them is like $12, $20, $30. And now they're putting that away. And they're thinking, maybe, you know, if I change my mind, then I have to buy it over again. So they always put the sin within reach, right? The sin within reach. So you're giving yourself an opportunity to go back to doing that again. So it's not really sincere. And that's why the companions of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed the revelation about the prohibition of khamr, of alcohol and liquor, they smashed all the containers that they use, right? They didn't just pour the wine, they smashed the containers that they used to use for the wine and for the alcohol, because they didn't want to go back to it, because they were sincere. They smashed it. And فَهَلْ أَنْتُمْ مُنْتَهُ. Are you guys done with it? Allah says, and so and the companions just said, انتهينا. It's over with. It's done. If it's haram, we're not going to touch it again. So they smashed the containers. And so that's why here, this man says to him, that the alim says to him, وَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكَ. And don't go back to your people. Why? Because you're used to being with those people, and those are bad people. You know, they're not reminding you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and if you want to change, you can't be with them again. And so he says, don't go back. فَلَا تَرْجِعْ إِلَىٰ أَرْضِكَ فَإِنَّهَا أَرْضْ سُوءٌ. They are bad people there. And so فَانْتَلَقَ حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَى نِصْفَ الطَّرِيقَ. And he left his town. He leaves his town. حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَى نِصْفَ الطَّرِيقِ أَتَاهُ الْمَوْتِ. He, death comes to him. So he dies. The Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم said, حَتَّى إِذَا أَتَى نِصْفَ الطَّرِيقِ. He's right in the middle. He's right in the middle between the land of the good people and the land of the bad people. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, sends the angels to take his soul. And those who, you know, when the angel extracts, the angel of death extracts the soul, right? We have Malikul Maut. There are two types of angels that come with him. There are angels, either the Malaikat al-Rahma, the angels of mercy, or the angel of punishment. So they are the ones who bring it up, bring the soul and take it up to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And of course, after that, they send them back down. But when a person dies, these angels take the soul up. And so the angels, they have this soul, and they're both the angel of mercy and the angel of punishment came. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said, فَاخْتَصَمَتْ فِيهِ مَلَائِكَةُ الرَّحْمَةِ وَمَلَائِكَةُ الْعَذَابِ. So the two angels of mercy, the angel of mercy, the angels of mercy, and the angels of punishment, they're disputing with each other who should take this man's soul. فَقَالَتْ مَلَائِكَةُ الرَّحْمَةِ. So the angel of mercy says, the angels says, جَاءَ تَائِبًا مُقْبِلًا بِقَلْبِهِ إِلَى اللَّهِ. So the angels of mercy, they say that he came repenting to Allah. مُقْبِلًا بِقَلْبِهِ. His heart is already, like he came repenting, and his heart is already returning to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Meaning he's repented to Allah, and he's leaving already the land of the bad people. And so he, of course, the angel of mercy says, you know, I should take him. Like, it's my responsibility. And the angel of punishment, وَقَالَتْ مَلَائِكَةُ الْعَذَابِ إِنَّهُ لَمْ يَعْمَلْ خَيْرًا قَطْ. Like, this man has done no good whatsoever. Not a single goodness. Hasn't done anything good. And so they don't know what to do. He's in the middle. Who should take this man's soul? فَأَتَاهُمْ مَلَكٌ فِي سُورَةِ آدَمِي فَجَعَلُهُ بَيْنَهُمْ. Allah subhanahu wa sends another angel, but this angel comes in the form of a man. He comes in the form of a man. And he's there, and the angels are disputing, and how this looks, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. But of course, all of them are actually angels. Just this angel came in the form of a man. And then so he says, قِيسُ مَا بَيْنَ الْأَرْضَيْنِ. He said, why don't you measure the distance between the two towns? Why don't you measure? فَإِلَىٰ أَيِّهِمَا كَانَ أَدْنَى فَهُوَ لَهُ. Whichever land is he's closer to, then it's yours. In other words, if he's closer to the land of the good people, then the angel of mercy should take him. But if he's closer to the land of the bad people, then the angel of punishment should take him. And where is he though? He's right in the middle. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because he loves those who repent, who return to him, he makes a miracle happen. When the angels are measuring, Allah commands the earth to shrink its distance between that man and the land of the good people. And so when they measured, they found that he was actually closer. But he was only halfway. So as long as you make your way, you're there. Even if you don't make it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, inshallah. So just make that commitment and make that change. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will help you, inshallah. And so the angel of mercy then takes him. And so during when a person wants to repent to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, well, the lesson we learn here is that you have to be committed. You have to make sacrifices so that you don't return back to that sin again. If you are being influenced with bad people, sometimes you have to burn bridges that may lead you to the hellfire. You know, you have to burn those bridges. And so if you're being influenced in a negative way by some of your friends, then you have to find new friends. So if you have friends that don't remind you of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, don't remind you when you make a mistake, don't help you be a better person, then maybe it's time to find new friends and find somebody, some people who will help you, inshallah. And so a person who repents to Allah and returns to Allah, you have to show, if you want the mercy of Allah, it's not just by desire only. Those who hope in the mercy of Allah are the ones who put into action when they truly hope. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَالَّذِينَ هَاجَرُوا وَجَاهَدُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. Indeed, those who believe, and then they make hijrah, they migrate, and they strive in the path of Allah, they fight in the path of Allah. أُولَٰئِكَ يَرْجُونَ رَحْمَةَ اللَّهِ. They are the ones who hope for the mercy of Allah. Right? They are the ones who are doing all of these actions. You don't just hope for the mercy of Allah, you don't do anything. You have to give it your all. When you put your trust in Allah, you have to give it your all. When you hope for the mercy of Allah, you just don't just ask, you have to put it into action also. And ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there as long as you're sincere. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, this hadith is from Abi Hurairah radiallahu anhu, Sahih Muslim. Inna Allah yabsutu yadahu billayl yatuba musi' al-nahar. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala opens his hands out at night time to accept the repentance of the people who sin in the daytime. Every night Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads his hands, and the hands of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala are befitting of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. They're not like our hands, but they're befitting of Allah. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala spreads his hands at night time to accept the repentance and forgive those who sin in the daytime. وَيَبْسُطُ يَدَهُ بِالنَّهَارِ. And he seeks and he opens up his hands in the daytime to accept the repentance of those who repent at night time. حَتَّى تَطْلُعُ الشَّمْسُ مِن مَغْرِبِهَا. Until the sun rises from the west. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is forgiving when we, and no matter what you did before, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants you to repent, and you never lose hope. وَلَا تَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ. Don't lose hope in the comforting mercy of Allah, no matter what your situation is. إِنَّهُ لَا يَيْأَسُوا مِنْ رَوْحِ اللَّهِ إِلَّا الْقَوْمُ الْكَافِرُونَ. Nobody loses hope in the comforting mercy of Allah except for disbelievers. Why? Because if you think that Allah will not forgive you because your sins are so great, right? You're saying that the mercy of Allah can't encompass your sins. Like, so who are you to say that the mercy of Allah can't encompass your sins? No matter what you did before, as long as you didn't die in a state of shirk, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can forgive you. Even those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who harmed the believers. You know, in the story of Ashab al-Ukhdud, the king gathered all of those who believed in Allah and he forced all of them, he threw all of them. He had his soldiers throw all of them into a pit of fire. That's how cruel is that? Because they said La ilaha illallah. Because they believed in Allah, he dug a trench and he forced all of them. So cruel that he forced all of them to go into this a trench of fire. He dug such a big trench and pushed the believers in and threw the believers in. But even then, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ فَتَنُوا الْمُؤْمِنِينَ وَالْمُؤْمِنَاتِ. Those who tested the believers, meaning those who killed the believers, male and female, right? ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. And Allah then gives him even the chance, killing believers, those who say La ilaha illallah, men and women, children and elderly, young and old, everybody who says La ilaha illallah, he kills them. And he kills them not just regular killing, no. Kills them in the worst way, the most horrific way possible. When someone is being burnt, that's the most horrific way. You can't even watch it. You can't even watch when something like that happens. And he's trying to maximize harm and cruelty. And so Allah, even then Allah says, ثُمَّ لَمْ يَتُوبُوا. Allah gives them an opportunity. Even after you did all of that, you know, if you're willing to repent, we will accept from you. But if you don't, فَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ جَهَنَّمْ وَلَهُمْ عَذَابُ الْحَرِيقِ. They will have the, if they don't, they will have the punishment of the hellfire, Jahannam, and they will have the punishment of fire, real fire, the fire not of this life, the fire of the hereafter. And so Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he still gives them an opportunity. Al-Hasan al-Basri rahimahullah, he said, "Unzuru ila hadha al-jurm." Says, look at this sin. Look at this sin. And look at these people. And also look at the waljood. Look at the kindness and the mercy of the kindness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the difference here. The sin and the kindness of Allah. Qatalu awliya'a. Qatalu awliya'a. They killed the awliya of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The awliya. وَهُوَ يَدْعُوهُمْ إِلَى التَّوْبَةِ. Allah calls them to tawbah. Allahu Akbar. He's killing, it's unimaginable. He's, you know, of course, وَلِلَّهِ الْمَثَلُ الْأَعْلَى. If someone kills someone from your family, harms them in the worst possible way, and you're still asking them, you know, to be upright. Now you said, punish these guys, right? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala always opens the door of mercy for those who want to return to Him. And in fact, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala warns us, don't ever lose hope. And He warned, this is a warning, no matter what you did before, don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ. Say, O my ya ibadiya alladhina asrafu ala anfusim, O my servants who have transgressed and have wronged themselves, la taqnatu min rahmatillah. Don't lose hope in the comforting mercy. Don't lose hope in the mercy of Allah. Inna Allah yaghfiru dhunuba jami'a. Allah will forgive all sins. Innahu huwa al-ghafur rahim. He is the all-forgiving, most merciful. So He forgives all sins, even shirk, in this life, as long as you don't die in a state of shirk. Abdullah ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, he said, "Man ayasa ibadallahi min at-tawbati ba'da hadha faqad jahada kitab Allah." Whoever makes anyone lose hope in whoever makes the servants of Allah lose hope in tawbah, who says that there's no tawbah after this verse, then he has rejected the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because he has rejected the book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, إِلَّا مَنْ تَعْبَ وَآمَنَ وَعَمِلَ عَمَلًا صَالِحًا. Except for those who repent and believe and do righteous deeds, فَأُولَٰئِكَ يُبَدِّلُ اللَّهُ سَيِّئَاتِهِمْ حَسَنَاتٍ. They are the ones whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will change, will replace, and will substitute their bad deeds with good deeds. Whatever bad deeds that they did before, Allah will substitute it with good deeds. وَكَانَ اللَّهُ غَفُورٌ رَحِيمًا. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is all forgiving, most merciful. And surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُحِبُّ التَّوَّابِينَ وَيُحِبُّ الْمُتَطَهِّرِينَ. Allah loves those who repent, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves those who purify themselves. But you know, sometimes you might see someone may, you know, they're always sinning, but Allah still gives them. Allah still gives them, makes them rich, they still have money and so forth. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, إِذَا رَأَيْتَ اللَّهَ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ يُعْطِي الْعَبْدِ مَا يُحِبُّ مِنَ الدُّنْيَا أَلَا مَعَاصِيهِ فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ اسْتِدْرَاجِ. If you see a servant of Allah, if you see Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continue to provide and give more for this servant, more for this person who gives more of this dunya and the things that he loves of this dunya, even though he's still disobedient to Allah, فَإِنَّمَا هُوَ اسْتِدْرَاجِ. Don't think that Allah loves him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just waiting for the time and Allah so that when he continues to commit more sins, so that when the punishment comes, it will be severe, as severe as it could possibly get. So just sometimes Allah gives you the goodness of this world. But it's because it's not always because Allah loves that person. But sometimes Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala takes something away because He loves that person. Why? Because when you lose money, when you go through calamity, you return to Allah. When you have all the riches of the world, and you tend to forget Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is ever merciful. But at the same time, He's very strict in punishment. And He gives you so many opportunities. But you don't know when that last opportunity is. And that's why you have to return to Allah and repent to Allah every day, immediately. It's not about, you know, don't procrastinate. Because when you procrastinate and you don't repent to Allah, that one of the main reasons for the people in the hellfire, of being in the hellfire, is because they procrastinate. You know, they procrastinate. And the shaitan likes it when you procrastinate, especially when it comes to doing good deeds. And so that's why we have to be quick. وَسَارِعُ إِلَىٰ مَغْفِرَةٍ مِّن رَبِّكُمْ. And be quick. سَارِع. Be quick and vie with each other. Be quick to the forgiveness of Allah. Meaning repent quickly and don't wait. And repent sincerely. يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا تُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ تَوْبَةً نَصُوحًا. O ye who believe, repent to Allah with a sincere repentance. وَتُوبُوا إِلَى اللَّهِ جَمِيعًا أَيُّهَا الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. And repent all of you to Allah, O believers, so that you may be successful. And so that's why when we repent Allah to Allah, repentance to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is something that is mandatory. It's not something that is sunnah or anything like that. Because our salvation, you know, the Christians, they say just believe in Jesus and you'll be saved, you can do anything you want. For us, our salvation is based on our belief in action and on moral character. It isn't just, you know, you believe and that's it. So we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our repentance, and we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to accept our deeds during this month and to give us long life in His obedience. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to forgive us and keep us and bless us in our health and family and our wealth. Ameen ya Rabbil Alameen.